This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Readings from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
So we are in Luke chapter 2, if you'd like to open up in your Bibles to follow along. But before I bring up anybody in this chapter, I'd like to read or tell you two stories. I'd like to tell you two stories, and then I'd like to ask a question after I tell you those two stories. So the first story is this. Once upon a time, you were walking through town and you came to a farmer who raised horses. And he had one horse at the time. And when you went to the farmer, you got to talking, and as you were standing there, the horse ran away and left the farmer. And you looked at the farmer and you said, "Oh my, that is rather unfortunate." And the farmer looked at you and said, "Maybe." The next day, you were walking through town and you went back to the farmer and you saw that in his pen area there were seven horses. And you asked the farmer, "Why are there seven horses there?" And he said, "Well, when the one horse came back, there were six wild horses who came with him, and so now I have seven horses." And you looked at the farmer and you said, "Wow, that's wonderful." And the farmer looked at you and said, "Maybe." The next day, you were walking through town and you walked up to the farmer and you saw that the farmer's son was trying to break these wild horses, trying to train them, to bring them into submission. And while he was riding one of these wild horses, he fell off of the horse and broke his leg. And you look at the farmer when this happens and you say, "Oh my, that is rather unfortunate." And the farmer looks at you and says, "Maybe." The next day, you're walking through town and you go to the farmer. And as you walk to the farmer, you ask how his son is doing, and the farmer says that he's recovering. All of a sudden, an army vehicle pulls up and goes to the farmer's house, and the military men come out of the army vehicle and say, "We need to pick up your son. The draft has been enacted to fight this war, and we need to enlist him in the service of the army." And the farmer says, well, my son just broke his leg. And so the army men went back into their vehicle and drove away. And you look at the farmer and you say, wow, well, that's rather fortunate. And the farmer looks at you and says, maybe. That's the first story. Now it's time for the second story. Once upon a time, you were walking through town and you came upon an elephant breeder's property. And when you walked up to the elephant breeder's property, you looked at his vast yard and these massive elephants walking around. And as you noticed, you looked that there were no fences. There were no boundaries. You looked at the elephants to see how they were tied, and there were no chains, there were no massive cables. All that there was around one of their legs was a very, very small piece of rope. And you were amazed, and you walk up to the elephant breeder, and you ask the elephant breeder, you say, how is it that you're able to keep these elephants from getting loose and running away? And I mean, they're massive. These pieces of rope are like spider webs. They could just break them and go their way. And the elephant breeder says to you, well, you see, when these elephants are born, I took the same sized rope and I tied it around their legs and tied it to a pole. And so they, from the very earliest age, knew that when this rope is on their leg, they can't get away. And as they got older, I just didn't change the size of rope around their leg. Now that they're old and massive, even though they have the strength in them to break free, it's just the fact that they've adopted a belief that they can't break free. And so they don't try. That's the end of the second story. Now the question I'd like to ask you is this, and by the way, it is not, please tell me the moral of the story. I'm going to let your imagination figure out the moral of those two stories and how it could apply to your own life. They are interesting. But the question I'd like to ask you is, what is, in these two stories, the most important link between them? What ties these two stories together? These two stories that I told you are very different. Very different in descriptions and events and animals involved. But there's something that links them both together that is more important than all. Do you know what it is? Can somebody give a guess? I welcome it. There's an interesting point. Somebody else want to give it a go? I'm not saying these are all wrong answers, but I'm going to highlight one. Somebody said something. Believe? Okay. One more. Freedom? How about this? You are the person involved. In both stories, though there are different events, different circumstances, you are the one involved. And as we study the story of Christmas, as we look at those who sought the child, I realize this. There are very different stories involved. There are very different circumstances. There are very different events, but there's one thing that links them all together. Do you know what that is? The child. Different stories, different people, different contexts, different upbringings, different backgrounds, same child. That they're all seeking. And as I was thinking about that and preparing this, I realized that is the main link that we must have in everything. Amen? I'm going to read to you two more stories. This time,
from the Bible.
Open up your Bibles, if you will, here. As was read earlier in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Here's the backdrop. Shepherds were important in the society of this time. However, they were considered outcasts. They were considered unclean because of their occupation. They couldn't participate in the inner religious circles because of their unclean status. And these shepherds were out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. But to them, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. This glorious appearing came to these nobodies, these outcasts. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." That's good news. I bring you good news of great joy. This good news is going to bring you joy unspeakable, joy inexplainable, joy that is beyond what you've ever experienced. And here it is, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And as if that wasn't enough for these shepherds, there before them a whole company of the heavenly host of God's supernatural beings in his heaven come and appear and sing before the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," or "on earth peace, favor upon men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Wow." They said, "Wow, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. We want to see this for ourselves. Let's go. And the Lord has made this known to us." So they, in verse 16, they came with haste. They didn't just linger. They didn't think about it. They went, and they went fast, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, but the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had seen and heard as it was told them. What an amazing story! What an amazing account of how God heralded the good news to these back burner country bumpkin shepherds out in the fields. What joy they must have experienced. What good news there is. What a wonderful, true story. Amen. Now I'd like to read to you a second true story. Verse 21, continuing. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So Jesus is fulfilling the law. His parents are obeying the law by faith, and they're taking Jesus to follow the Mosaic steps of being included in the covenant community. So, verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." So now, instead of way out in the country with nobodies, we're now in the heart of the city with a quote-unquote somebody. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So at some point in the past, we don't know how long ago, this man, just faithfully serving day by day, doing his work, serving the Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon this man and revealed to him by some prophetic manner, whether through a dream or what have you, revealed to this man that he was not going to the grave until he saw the Messiah. And so he's just serving the Lord day by day, waiting and waiting and waiting, and he's getting older and he's getting older and he's getting older, but he knew that promise was made, and he's waiting and he's wondering, and maybe he's tempted, is it going to happen? But he's nonetheless waiting. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the Christ child, the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He says, here it is, Lord, you fulfilled your promise. You were true. This is great because now I can go to my grave knowing that you kept your word. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then in steps this woman. We don't know who she is, what she do. She's just there. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow! What an amazing true story. But I tell you what, it's very different than what happened with the shepherds. Amen? Very different. Different people. Different place. Different setting. Different action. But what's the one thing that's linking the stories together? The child. The child. Different stories. Same person involved. You see, you and I have a very different life. Your life and my life are very different. Your background and my background are very different. You have different parents, you have a different setting, you grew up in a different area than I did, unless there's somebody in this room that I don't know of that grew up in Scituate, Rhode Island. You grew up in a very different area, you have very different experiences. In fact, if you're a born-again believer here today, the way you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior is very different than the way I did. Amen. Every life here is a different chapter with different circumstances, different stories. We're all different chapters. We all don't have the same experiences. We all don't have the same stories to tell around the Christmas table when we're gathered together with loved ones. We all don't have the same background and experience and work environment and family upbringing and setting. It's all different. But what's the one thing that ties us all together? The child who grew up to be the Savior of the world. You see, we may have different chapters, but we're all part of the same book, amen? We're all part of the same book. And as we read of all these people who lived and breathed and had families and had work that they did, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever hours they kept, and they just did it day after day. They're all different. All social circles are different. All cultures are different. But the one thing that links them together is Jesus. And I'm telling you, we live in a culture in which we think the book is about us. We live in a culture that think, I am the book, you are the chapter. I'm the title. You're the sub-story.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's wrong. That's wrong. In fact, even for people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even for people who don't trust in Him, they are a chapter in the book too. This isn't just for us. Celebrating Christmas, honoring Jesus, this is all not just something we ourselves engage in and believe to be true, while they out there think and believe something different. That's what I used to believe. I used to believe that whatever a person thought for themselves was true for themselves, and therefore everybody else thought for themselves and it was true for themselves. So there were all these books you could pick up and choose from in the library. But we realize that the whole of existence, the whole of the universe, all surrounds around this one person, Jesus. And we all, in our experiences, are part of that. And that is very, very humbling. Amen? Think of how the author of the book of Hebrews writes it under inspiration when he says, "This God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us," here it is, "by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." You see, it says that He upholds all things through the word of His power. All things were made for Him, by Him, and we are a part of that story. We have different stories, we have different experiences, but it is the same Jesus that we must follow. There's only one way of salvation, amen? The Christmas story is the beginning of the earthly life of this salvation story that says there is salvation in none other, and there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, as Peter puts it in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And when Jesus looked at the crowd in the face and He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me," He was speaking a story that is true for every single human being you meet every day. Different stories. Same child. Same Jesus. Same salvation. It's not that that person over there thinks that his self-effort and good works is going to earn him a place in eternal life, and this person over here thinks that it is by grace through faith. No, the Bible teaches, Jesus taught, that it is by grace through faith in Him. So it is true for everyone. Look at this. Everyone has a different timeline to find Christ. These shepherds, if you think of it for a moment, these shepherds, they were just doing their thing. We have no idea where they were with God. We have no idea. They were part of the people, but we don't know where their individual hearts were. All we know, the angels came, said, "Good news, Jesus is here. They went and saw Him and followed Him, after Him. Think of that timeline. Very short, right? Then think of Simeon. Very different timeline. Sure, he's part of the covenant people, he has the Holy Spirit, but he's still waiting for that salvation, trusting ahead as they did in the Old Testament, looking ahead, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and there's time, and there's time, and there's time, and days go by, and days go by, and days go by, and finally, Jesus comes. And finally, he's there, receiving that. I think of the different timelines involved in everybody's story. You know that? People come to Christ at different stages in life, through different processes, very different in my life to my wife. She grew up in a Christian environment, heard the gospel from a very young age, knew the truth for many years, and had to come in her own walk in her own environment, had to come to that place where she received this for herself. She doesn't know the day that she was born again, but she knows there came a period of time when this had to be received by faith for herself, not just an environment she's in. I heard the gospel, and I raised my hand, and I was baptized, and I was just as lost as before. In a four-year period where God was unraveling this idea of pluralism and this idea of hypocrisy until it came to the day when I knew I was a sinner, I knew I was a hypocrite, and I received Jesus, and I know the time and I know the date, different timeline, same story, but you know something? Same Jesus! Same gospel! Different timeline. Think of the disciples. You know, Jesus is there. He appears on the scene. He tells them to cast their nets. They catch a bunch of fish. Then they look at him and say, Lord, we'll follow you. They leave everything and follow him. Nicodemus took a little time. Nicodemus met with Jesus at night, asked about him. Was wondering what this whole born again thing means when you have to be put into your mother's womb again. That doesn't make sense. Thinking it, processing it later on. You know, the Pharisees that he's a part of are really putting Jesus down, and that he sees that there's unfairness, and so he questions that, and they put him down, and he's wrestling with this. And then you know that moment, Nicodemus moment when Jesus is crucified, and he gets out there in public. He says, I want to help him get off that cross. I associate with him. There's a timeline difference between Nicodemus and the disciples. But you know something? Same Jesus! Not just timelines. Think about this. Everybody has different responses. I think of this when I compare the stories of Simeon and the shepherds. I think there are different responses. You know, and the shepherds heard the truth. Their response was to go. Fast. Move. Act, seek, search. When Simeon heard the truth, his response was to wait, ponder, trust. Different responses, same truth. Oh, don't get discouraged when the person you're sharing the gospel to doesn't have the same cookie-cutter process of working through the truth as you did. God works in different ways with different people, but it must be the same truth. You think of the seeds, the parable of the seeds that Jesus taught when he said a sower went out into the field and he sowed seeds, and the seeds landed on one part of the path and the bird came and plucked it, and then the seed landed on the rocky soil and the roots, it grew up, but then the sun came down and it became parched and it withered because the soil was full of rocks. And then the seed fell onto the land that had a bunch of weeds, and so the plant grew up and the weeds wrapped around the plant and it couldn't bear fruit because it had a bunch of weeds. But then the seed landed on the soil and it produced a glorious crop because there was a good soil there. And Jesus taught that parable to say that you share the gospel with some, and before it even makes any difference, Satan comes and distracts them with something else. You share the gospel with another, and they kind of accept it for a period of time. I've experienced this many times, and I'm learning this process of the four seeds, where you share the gospel, there's an immediate result, there's a response, it's brilliant, it's glorious, I'm praising the Lord, and it's wonderful, and they're dedicated coming to church, and they're doing this and that in church, and then over time, where did they go? Where are they? And they're gone. And they're back in their life. And then you share the gospel with others and they grow, but then, you know, money and all these distractions and pleasures, they can't really escape it. They want the world and God at the same time, and it's not really working out for them too well. And they're not bearing fruit. And then there are others you share the gospel and they're not perfect, but they're growing. They're submitting to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's at work. Different responses, but you know something? Same seed! Don't
Don't get discouraged in your sharing and your witnessing. Let God have His word work its power. Just trust in that Jesus. Wrap your lives around Jesus Christ. You've got a story. Is your story on His side? Is your story such that it's following Him? If there were an extra chapter to the book of Luke, which I know there's not, but if there were an extra chapter in the book of Luke and the title of that chapter had a heading, insert your name here's life, it's going to be very different from other people, but how does it relate to Jesus Christ? How does it relate to Jesus Christ? Somebody sent me a testimony of a man. I don't know much about him besides his testimony. His name is Dr. James Torr. And in his testimony, you see the differences between people. This man is a brilliant man. He got a PhD in the field of organic chemistry, postdoc at Stanford. He was part of a group of a man who was going to win a Nobel Prize. He was voted top 50 of most influential minds in the world, visiting scholar at Harvard, spoke at every major university, 650 research publications, scientist of the year. He has 7 or 8 companies. I was looking into him a little bit. He worked on inventing, I didn't know these existed, they're called nanocars. They're cars that are the size of molecules they made. They're designed to move. This man helped invent these. They can drive cars. The intention is to use medicine where they can direct vehicles with medicine to certain parts of the body. I don't get it. But he says above this, more than any of that, what means the most to me is that I'm a Jew who believes in Jesus as the Messiah. And he talks about how he grew up outside New York City. Everybody was Jewish. He went to school to study, and when he was there, somebody came up to him in the bathroom and said, "Can I draw something for you?" And he said, "Sure." And they drew on a piece of paper a man on one side, God on the other side, a chasm in between that says sin. And he said to that man, "I'm not a sinner. I don't murder anybody." And the man whipped out his Bible, said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says the wages of sin are death." And he said, "Read this verse." And this man, Dr. Torr, read it, and he said, "If any man looks at a woman to lust with her in his heart, he has committed adultery with her in his heart." And the Holy Spirit convicted him of his sin because he was addicted to pornography. He realized he needs to get right with God. He receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he's a Messianic Jew. Amazing testimony, amen. Well, he's sharing the gospel with his mother. He's sharing the gospel with his mother. She's in tears. "You're Jewish. This man, Jesus, deserved to be killed. He rejected the Jewish leaders. Of course he should have been killed. How dare he? How dare you?" And years go by, and years go by, and years go by. Until one day, the mother is visiting. This man grew up. He's successful. He's got a daughter, about 15, who takes her grandmother into the back room and starts reading Bible to her. And something about it is at work, until finally she calls, later in life, she calls Dr. Torr on the phone and says, "I believe it, Jesus is the Messiah," and receives Christ. Now here in this testimony, you have two testimonies, very different of a timeline, very different response, but you know something? Same message, same Jesus, same glory to God, amen? I leave this with you. How is your story being told? We have different callings. You have a different calling than I do. I'm part of a prayer group. Some are pastors, some clean toilets. We're all praying, and God is using us in our own individual callings. But it's the same Jesus. Where do you fit in? Are you like the wise men? You're on a long journey right now. You're searching. You're searching. You're on a long journey, but the light is shining. You're moving towards it. Are you like Mary and Joseph? You're very close to the child. The child is there in your life, very close, and you're just cherishing the moment of your walk with Jesus. Are you like the shepherds and God has infiltrated your life in such a powerful way and you are just amazed and you're following after him? Are you like Herod? You have not so good motives in your association with Christianity. They're all different stories here today. Where is yours fitting in? And how does it relate to the one true story over us all? That one true story that we all will be celebrating in heaven. I look forward to hearing all the people in heaven and what they have to share and what stories they have to tell, but it's all going to be about the one Jesus that we will worship together. Amen? Here's the story. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has his story become... Have you become a part of the good side of this story by receiving him by faith? If you have, where are you at with him? It's being written down for others to hear someday. You have a part in how it's written. It's a mystery, but you have a part in how it's written. How are you following Jesus? One day this story will be complete. The book will be closed. There will be a volume 2, by the way. It's going to be eternity. But we're in volume 1. How is it being written? May this Christmas be a reminder that that little child in Bethlehem, on that little child, in that little manger, hinges all of history. Where do you fit in? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would remind us of this Christmas. The great story of how you came to earth as a child 2,000 years ago to live a life we couldn't live, die a death we were supposed to die, and give us an opportunity to have everlasting life. I pray if anyone here has not received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they will call upon you now. Call upon you for salvation, not as something they can earn by being righteous, but something that they receive by faith. Please let them receive Jesus. Lord God, may you help us as we walk on the path of your story. In Jesus' name, all God's people together pray.